test, and then let me see your mic. Do a test.
Test, test, test.
Okay, one sec, Girk. Got a...
She's getting our wine. This is going to be crazy.
You all have...
Let me take a picture. Girk, can you get Max to take a screenshot?
It's giving chicks in the
office. So cute.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to leap year, everyone.
Wait, is this year a leap year?
Say action before we start talking about leap year, please. Oh, wait. Kate, oh. It's already going?
Yeah. We've been recording for 10 minutes.
That's
She's
my bad.
New to this
That's
game.
My bad.
This is not a movie set. I love it, though.
I know. I feel like... can you be in charge of my wine, too?
Well, sure. I'm also have to look at the questions.
I think you'll be okay. I'll just say
okay.
Sip.
Okay.
We can have a sip break.
Totally.
I really gotta pace myself, or this is gonna turn into like.
Well, we're gonna be talking too. So you really don't drink too much.
I'll make a for the girls version and a for the public version.
Okay. She's getting her questions, but wait. Sorry. We're gonna start just talking, right?
No. We're gonna. I want to talk about leap year for a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about leap year.
Can we say action, please?
And action.
Let's talk about leap year, everyone.
But don't you have to be like, hello and welcome to my pod?
Yeah, we're gonna get to it, but we don't really do that.
Oh, you
know,
shit, okay.
I mean, you know,
you're cussing a lot.
We say fuck on this podcast all the time.
You can say fuck. Oh my gosh, today I had to teach a group of teenage boys. They genuinely didn't know what the word fornication meant. They were reading a primary source from Osama bin Laden, so it's a lot of layers going on here, but...
Oh my.
In... Osama bin Laden's letter to America, he talks about how we're like immoral and do all these bad things, and he brings up fornication, and genuinely these boys did not know what it meant. They loudly said, what is fornication? And I had to be like, I wasn't mature enough to like say it. I was like, I can't say it. I was like, you have to Google it.
Wait, I don't know.
Just means sex.
If you're fornic,
no chance you knew what that meant,
babe.
There's literally no chance you knew what that meant. I'm sorry.
For a second, I was like, wait. But if you're fornicating, you're having sex,
like procreating.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's synonyms.
Which? How do you procreate?
You have sex.
You fornicate.
But okay,
it sounds.
I will
worse,
have to
though.
Say.
It sounds like. Anyway.
I don't remember learning that.
Well, I mean, it's.
That word I'm talking about.
Anyway, I had to teach them that word today, and they like cracked up when I told them. But I was like, I wish you hadn't asked me.
I'm sorry you had to deal with that twice today.
Let's talk about leap year.
Nice segue.
Yeah, good segue. What about it?
What are we going to do on our extra day?
It's every 4 years, right?
I think so.
Okay. We'll fact check that.
Yeah, I don't know. I always say we're going to fact check things. I've never fact checked anything. So
I think that's very normal for having a pod and just saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you got to fact check.
I mean, we're not out here quoting scholarly articles.
Not here to say that we are trying to educate anyone. It is every 4 years.
Okay. So I heard that they're very, very lucky. The year itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I sent an article, and by article, I mean an Instagram post.
I read an article. I DM'd someone an Instagram post.
That's what that means. I read an article about how anyone that's getting married this year has a very lucky marriage ahead of them.
Oh my God.
Because of the leap year.
Allie.
That's who I sent it to.
Aww.
I know.
That's so great.
Isn't that cute?
Do we think that spills into other
categories? 100%.
We pray.
No, this was like definitely like a bridal magazine that was trying to, you know, it wasn't like the only thing that's lucky.
I just
it was targeted.
Everyone to know, this is the most fun I've ever had.
Kate, tell the people where we are.
Okay.
Yes.
I know you guys can't see, but we will update with a photo. So Girk is here with us very much in spirit, but she's with us on Zoom from Connecticut. Rachel and I are in Santa Monica, staying at the Santa Monica proper, a 5-star gorgeous hotel.
Fact check. We don't know if it's 5-star.
It is.
It feels 5. Is it?
It's 5.
Oh, pardon me.
I'll triple fact check it, but I'm pretty sure it's 5 stars. It's got all the dollar signs when you look it up. And it was designed by Kelly Worcestershire.
Kelly Worcestershire.
Worcestershire sauce.
Is that her last name?
No. It's like Worstler or something.
Yeah, it's something.
She's a famous...
Kelly. We are dragging Kelly's name right now.
She is an I'm sorry, Kelly. She's an amazing interior designer. Watch her name be like... Anyway.
We don't know her name. She's incredible, though. Yeah. Her work, magnificent.
But we're here because Rachel's on a work trip, and I'm just her plus one. I'm just along for the ride. Like,
that is correct.
But literally from LAX, like, we were ordering an Uber, and I was like, I got it. And she's like, Kate, no, like, you don't understand.
It's part of the treatment. Like,
it's part of the work trip. And
it's just what you do.
Do you have a company card?
I'm just curious. Yes. Okay. We can say that. We can say that for sure.
Cool.
Don't want to be. But
all that. Yeah. All that to say, we are enjoying Santa Monica for 3 nights. And we.
Correct. I have a board meeting on Thursday.
She's a board meeting on Thursday. That's why we're here. And we get to like play a little tomorrow.
What's on the agenda?
Well, this is just the best because we're spending my birthday here, which is tomorrow. No.
I think you do.
No.
Just a quick one. Ready?
Okay.
What are we doing?
You
singing.
No, we're not doing that.
I know she wants to go like that. It's all right.
That's fine.
I thought I saw the Hollywood sign.
Been staring at the same window.
We've been looking for it.
The Hollywood sign came.
You should have heard us in this Uber. First of all, I know we're getting really off topic, but we were in this Uber. No, that's for you.
I can't.
You don't want it?
No, I just don't
want it. No. It's okay. No. Rachel, it's not going to work. You can't be in and out of the frame. No.
Interior designer not make bedside tables?
Only on the left.
Kelly only believes in the left side.
I ain't ever heard that before, Kelly.
Ain't never.
No.
We're going to have to
That's not going
to
work because...
No, it's okay. I'm going to sip it. I promise.
You can't be in and out of the frame, though, to go get it. Oh, the producer!
Can you edit out my sniffles?
Yeah, we'll also edit out when we flash... Girk and
but wait, I thought you said we weren't on video for anyone other than Girk.
We're not, but I'll have a copy.
Well, that's just fun.
But we were in this Uber and we were literally like, I hopped on the plane at LAX.
No, we were being crazy.
Rachel was wearing a cardigan. We had a dream and a cardigan.
I was wearing a long cardigan.
I'm just saying.
But the reason why this happened, Girk, is because you know me well and you know that I have dreams about famous people a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes. All the time. Like, literally, I kid you not, 2 to 3 times a week, I am hanging out with Taylor Swift. I am on the Kardashians' private jet. Like, it is almost feels natural to me. And so I was asking Kate, I was like reminding Kate that that's part of my life, those dreams. And Kate was like, wait, I had a dream. And do you want me to summarize your dream or do you want to summarize your dream?
Tell us.
You can if you want. I'll just pop in.
Okay, pop in.
Don't forget the details.
Kate had a dream last week.
Yeah.
About this trip specifically, that we went to dinner at a restaurant called Craig's, which we might try to go to tonight.
We're so dumb. We're like, do you think we can just walk into Nobu? Like, two
We're
dummies.
Going to. We have great energy. We already got half off smoothies today. We're going to be good.
Oh my gosh.
They gave us a free smoothie.
It's a lucky leap year. That's what it is.
Oh my God. Bring it back. It's the leap year.
Bring it back. Okay, continue.
Kate had a dream. We were at dinner at Craig's. Zac Efron and crew walks in. Why do we think it was Zac Efron? We don't know. Probably because of the recency bias with Iron Claw.
Just thinking about him a lot because Iron Claw was coming out.
So.
Okay. I was thinking it was more random because that's who you're going to see. Like, that's why it feels random.
It could
Maybe
be.
It's a premonition.
But let's let the record show Kate and I both think that Zac Efron's brother is hotter. So we hope he was so part hot. Of the crew.
But Zach, Dylan, if you're listening, we don't discriminate.
No, we don't care that much. Either one of you will work fine.
Cheek injections and jaw injections. We don't care.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, give me some of that filler. Okay.
Kate literally said, he does look a little crazy right now, but I'd still hit it. Quote.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm a red-blooded American woman. Who wouldn't? Anyways.
Sorry, MK, if you're listening.
She would too. wait. Fact check it.
Fact check. I can't even say it.
Zac Efron walks in with crew. We're hoping brother was there. And he walks up to the table that me and Kate are sitting at and says, hey, girls, I'm having dinner. Do you guys want to join? We end up sitting at the table, have dinner with them. It's going great. Kate is getting handsy with Zac Efron under the table. And
I just have my hand on his leg.
Wink, wink. And... oh my God, what if Will and MK are listening?
That's what I'm saying.
It's a dream. This isn't real.
I know. It's still horrible. Okay.
Okay.
You consenting adults?
Of course.
True. I guess there's nothing wrong with that.
It's just a dream, everybody. Calm down.
Zac Efron and Kate are hitting it off at dinner. We'll leave it at that. And we're just having the greatest time with them. And they ask us to go to the club with them after dinner. And Kate, I start getting a little bit like, Kate, I don't know.
Because Zach's friends are hitting on her too, obviously. But I was like, Rachel, no offense, like, you're in a relationship, I'm gonna take Zach, you know? And she's like, do your thing.
That part of the dream doesn't necessarily sound like me. I think I would have jumped in that car.
I was
so fast.
So
she was like, is it an Uber Black?
It's giving car service. It's better. It's better than Uber Black.
They definitely had a car service.
But no, but like the whole point of how it leads to that is that Zach's friends obviously think she's so cute and are like flirting with her. And I was like, Rachel, he invited us to the club. Like, can we go? And you said?
I said, in Kate's dream, let me text Marshall real quick. Shoot, let me text Bill real quick.
We might give him a code name.
Anyways, let me text my boyfriend.
Bill,
really
what
quick.
Is he, 75?
I don't know. I got nervous. Let me text my boyfriend real quick and Kate
we
goes,
can bleep it.
Okay, that's fine. We have that would be so
every
funny.
Every time we say it, we just
bleep every time.
Great.
That would be perfect. Really funny.
I can't do
more that. Editing for Kate.
We'll let our producer know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let her know. Let that bitch know.
Yeah, where is that bitch?
God, she's so
anyways,
on time.
Kate goes, okay, that's fine, but we have like 30 seconds. And apparently I got a really quick response, which would never happen in a not dream.
That's how we know it's a dream.
That's how right it's there. A dream.
She got permission. I said,
and so
let's
we went
go.
And she said that's when she woke up.
But the funny thing is we told Marshall about that dream. And Marshall goes, guys, Zac Efron doesn't drink.
We were like, how do you know that?
So that specific scenario can't happen.
I don't know how he knows that, but I do believe him.
No, totally. We were like, how do you? Yeah. He was like, you guys should go to...
Goes out but doesn't drink? Like, he wouldn't go to the club and...
Yeah, maybe he would. Maybe he would.
We did say, like, we're going clubbing with Zac Efron tonight, so maybe he was assuming that we thought he drank.
That's fair.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Anyways, we don't know who we will run in tonight.
Oh my gosh, I cannot wait. You are going to run into somebody. I can just feel it with the two of you.
Oh, I forgot to tell you.
So.
When I was
we're
in the
asking
lobby,
for it.
I think I saw... Hillary Duff's husband, Matthew Coma, I think.
Do you think Hillary's here?
He was like in the dark area, you know, where we were sitting.
Yeah.
But like that dark section.
Yeah.
How would you be able to pick him out? I would never be able to.
I like I pretty good love Hillary Duff stuff. Still. Like I love her still.
Yeah. No, same.
Like I follow her, like I, but like on Instagram and stuff, but like I would not know what he looks like other than.
He looks like he was in a 90s.
Yeah.
Rock
I've always
band.
Like a band.
He is. He's a rock star. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't
he?
It's not Joel Madden. It's the other one. Because Nicole Kidman is married. Never mind.
Yes.
It's not important.
Nicole Kidman. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Nicole Richie's married to Joel Madden.
Yeah. Let's say, are we bringing Keith Urban in this mix?
No, sorry.
I thought she was comparing a rock
sorry,
star
wrong,
to.
Wrong Nicole. Wrong Nicole. That's on me. God, this is going to be such a bitch to edit. Yeah. Anyways.
Yep.
Well, Girk, should we introduce Rachel? Do people know who she is? I don't know. I mean, probably.
Please.
Okay, so, guys, if you weren't listening already, welcome to another episode of Laying Down. We're here. We're sitting on the hotel bed, as you know. Always be recording. You're filled in. And today, we have Rachel. And Rachel is literally the longest friend that I've had. I've known Rachel since birth. I've literally never known life without you. And I feel so fortunate that that is the case. And because of that, we know each other very creepily, really well. And like way too many random memories. I feel like you remember memories from our childhood where you're like, remember in third grade when we did blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, but I'm so glad that you remember. And I trust you. And so I had to bring her on because she's just had a really fun, cool, introspective past couple of years. And I just want to ask her some, Girk and I both just want to like ask her some questions about it. And I just think a lot of gals listening would love to hear. So thank you so much for being on the Pod Reach.
Oh my gosh. This is so fun. I feel very honored. I'm not going to lie. I kind of feel like I got a little bit of a preview into when you guys were going to start doing interviews. And I was very, very excited about that subject in general. And so to be on here as a guest is so, so honoring. And I love you both independently and as friends together. You guys have taught me.
I feel honored that like Kate brought me into y'all's friendship, but then like we have our own friendship too. There's like the adjacent of the boyfriends also. That is another layer of our friendship, but then yeah. Also on our own, we have our friendship. And so it's really honored to be here as well, everyone.
I feel like you two have taught me a lot about friendship too, which is awesome.
Aww. Do you guys remember your first like impressions of each other, meeting each other?
I remember, and I was hoping I would get to tell this story, but I don't know if you remember.
Wait, and now I don't know what the first is. It definitely had to be Hampton Sydney, right?
No. Well, not mine. Yours could be there.
Okay, you go first, well, and then let me think.
Actually, this is layered because I remember when Kate was talking to you about being roommates senior year at Douglas Freeman, and that's how you know when you're an alum. You call it Douglas Freeman. You're definitely an alum.
What are we, 80?
I don't know. That was weird.
Okay.
But you were a hot commodity for a roommate. There was a couple people, we'll leave them.
I was so nervous.
So dead.
You know, I was like, yeah. Is she going to pick me?
And like, I knew multiple people that were talking about being freshman roommates.
We had to bleep out names.
We will. And I remember knowing of you because of Jake, of course.
Yes. And that was something I was thinking, is that I knew of you because of my brother, but I feel like we never met. I just like heard about you and like great you were of a friend to him.
Yes. And you guys had just gotten Penny. And I walked in with and met Penny and met you.
Oh my
briefly.
God, I do remember that.
So that is my very first interaction with you. Side note, we could do a whole podcast on how much I love Jake Gerken. But then, Girk, I remember too, probably like 3 or 4 years later, which is wild that you and I didn't have more interaction with you and Kate being at JMU. But side note, we ran into each other at Bogey's Sports Park or whatever that place is called.
Bogey's?
Is that what it's called?
Bogey?
Oh my gosh, you were babysitting.
I was babysitting and you were on a date with Max. And it was the first time I had ever met Max in person. And I like felt like I knew too much about both of you that I got super awkward and said, oh my God, you have two different color eyes. And that's like the only thing I remember. But at that point, you were probably like knowing more about my life through Kate, that it didn't feel like that, like, oh, I'm meeting Rach. But then our lives just kept crossing. Couldn't get rid of me.
Will you give people just a really quick bio before we go into a couple of questions? And I just have a list, and then Alex is just going to jump in where she wants to. And obviously we do a lot of improv as well.
Love it.
But will you just tell everybody where you're at right now, your age, like what you do for a living? Just give us a little bio.
Sure. I live in Denver, Colorado, which I love. Great spot for me. And I work for a tech startup that's kind of in the climate space. So we are very busy all the time, and I travel a good bit for work. Which
to put it mildly.
And I'm 27 years old, mm-hmm. which feels old, but I know it's not.
When did you move to Denver?
I moved to Denver just over a year ago.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Crazy, it's been a mm-hmm. year.
Mm-hmm. How is that? Time is so crazy.
Time is
wild.
Oh
my gosh, it's insane. My first question was, can you, so to preface, There was a time, listen, Rachel could write a book about a lot of things, but we're going to talk about a specific time where Rachel was in a relationship with her boyfriend, and then they decided to part ways and go be themselves for a year. And then we just are going to kind of talk about that process and what brought them back together and all that stuff. So again, that just gives the question a little bit more context. But can you talk a little bit about what was going on in your life when you were on the precipice of sort of taking this year to yourself, whatever you're comfortable sharing, like where you and Marshall were at, what was going on at that time? And can you just kind of, yeah, take us through that experience from your point of view?
Absolutely. I've never shared this publicly.
I told her to say stuff like that.
He told me to say that for the listeners. For the ratings.
But she hasn't.
For the clicks.
True.
We gotta get those clicks.
Clickbait.
Respectfully.
So, yeah. So, let's see. It was like when I was 25. I just was 25, which feels crazy. Mm-hmm. And I truthfully kind of feel like I was having a quarter life crisis, which is very dramatic to say. I think people throw around that term a lot, but it's like true. Like, I think there's a lot of life that happens around your early to mid 20s that you're not necessarily prepared for. And you're literally just putting one foot in front of the other, trying to figure out what's best for you as a person, as the people in your life. You have all these opportunities, you don't have a ton of responsibility. So I was just very much so in the thick of that, I would say. Mm-hmm. The way I kind of like when, and also like a lot of this is reflection based, obviously. I don't think I had this wisdom necessarily when I was going through it. But the way I can kind of summarize it is I had these like three, or I would say two main categories in my life where I knew I was unhappy in. And one was being in the corporate environment. And one was still being in my hometown, which is very layered for me personally because of like my background. By the way, love Richmond. I think it's a beautiful place. I would like sad that I had these feelings towards it, basically, because I know how awesome of a place it is. Great community and all of that. But I think personally, I wasn't happy there. And so that's kind of the phase I was in. I'll tell a story about your wedding, Girk, actually, if you don't mind.
I was wondering if her wedding was going to come up.
So Girk's wedding was in July, and it was like the closing of the majority of our boyfriend's friends getting married. And so a very normal thing to say to someone, I would probably say this, I don't hold any judgment to anyone that said that this to me that day or any other day, is like, oh, you're next. And I really didn't feel ready for that. But I felt like everything in my life was pushing me towards that. And the funniest thing is like my relationship wasn't, but what I thought I needed to be doing to have a successful relationship and be the success story of a couple in Richmond and all of these different layers I have personally that had nothing to do with my relationship really made me feel that way. And then the next question is, oh, what do you do for work? And I didn't like my job. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just felt like I was reading this script or introducing myself or reconnecting with people, and everything I was saying, I didn't like that I was saying. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, literally, what am I doing? And I think I just kind of had, that's wonderful, such a fun day, but I had a breakdown after it, truthfully.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of where I was at that time.
Mm. And you and Marshall just started living together as well.
That's correct. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which was great.
Yeah. Can you talk us through a little bit your mindset and then how that kind of, that mindset you kind of described at the timeline around the end of her wedding is like, I feel like a good way to bookmark it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to us about what led you to say, okay, I'm actually going to go ahead and take some space. I know we just moved in together, but I need to go figure myself out. And how you like went from moving from point A to point B.
Yeah. I'm the type of person where once I have a thought, it's really hard for me to turn back on. So I think that was honestly part of it, of I had this thought of what would it be like if I did this? And then once I thought that, it would have taken a lot to talk me out of it. Not saying it was an easy decision by any means, but I have like the nagging voice in my head and gut that I trust and I try to live by a lot of the time that was saying, you need to do this for you and for the betterment of you and also the people you love. Like, it was a very, although it, like, the way it played out may, from the outside looking in, look at like a selfish decision, but there was a lot of care and thought that was put into it, but also picking me. And I think that was a, that's a very hard thing to do in our society and just in that age, right? Because you think you need to be doing the next thing and continue on this checklist path. And I didn't feel good about it, which I'm a child of divorce. Mm-hmm. I think that's not really that cute to say it, unless you're talking about like Liam and Miley.
It sounded really cute okay. when you said it.
You know how people use that for like pop culture?
The listeners are just going to love you. Okay. Keep going.
So, but I knew that if I was already feeling this way at 25 years old, I would be a 40-year-old resentful mother, which is not what I had growing up and not what I want to be because my parents made a tough decision. And so I think that was more accustomed to me. I'm not saying it's the right way for everyone. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot that I've learned after making this decision of, you know, putting in the work and sticking together too, that could have worked fine. Like, that's the thing I really think back on is like, this didn't necessarily have to be the path for me. It was just the one I could see and took mm-hmm. at the time. So I don't know if there was like, I'm answering your question all over the place, but I don't think there was like a linear decision-making process. It was more like, I need to do this. I think, what could this look like? How am I even going to do this? Like, then wouldn't have had a place to live. Like, we'll get into all of that. But like, you know, it was one foot in front of the other, making the next best right decision. So for like the timeline wise, I took like a month. I had like a family trip and I went and saw my friend Molly. And I had like a month where we spent apart before we officially broke up, which was also like leading up to my birthday. So I had like all this reflection going on that yeah. happens in a year. And so
how long were you guys dating by that point?
Let's see, like over 3.5 years, almost yeah. 4 years.
Really long
which,
time.
Also, I'll just go into this, like, for context, too. My first serious relationship started when I was 21 years old, 20, and I think it was 21.
Babies.
For some people know what they want and go for it, and that's great. That's not me. Babies. I had just gotten back from doing some medical stuff where I was relying very, very heavily on my family, and I hadn't, basically from my life at 21, I hadn't had the time to go do something like this, mm-hmm. which a lot of people get at different times through college, through being single after college. And I knew I like was ready and wanted a relationship. But I think also being that young and jumping into something, not jumping, that sounds, makes it seem like it wasn't like a choice, mm-hmm. but just feeling like I was in something that was very serious and I wanted it to be serious. I didn't feel like I had that freedom ever.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I appreciate off the bat how open you're being. Like, when you were saying it, I think it's really interesting how when you were saying, like, I just have to keep listening to my gut. I feel like that's I was thinking of like in Untamed when Glennon Doyle calls it like her knowing. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't reject yourself and like silence your knowing. It's always going to come back to you. And mm-hmm. you have always had, I believe, and what from what I've seen, like a very strong inner compass, a very strong spiritual leaning, like just a, mm-hmm. and knowing what you need to do. And I can imagine that you were like, I can't run from this.
Yeah.
At a certain point. And like the societal timelines, I just think is important to talk about because everybody does things at such different timelines and we really need to normalize that.
Totally.
And I think a lot of people in your position would have said, oh my gosh, I've been dating this great guy for 3.5 years. He wants to be long-term with me. Like, he wants to get married one day. And oh my gosh, like, what am I doing? Making a crack in this, like, perfect plan. Well,
totally. And it's funny, like, when we talk about it now, we respectfully and funnily refer to it as our divorce. But
I love that.
But I mean, it's funny because, like, we remember things very, not very differently, but, like, we hadn't had any serious conversations about getting married or that time frame other than knowing we really liked each other and wanted to be together and figure that out. But, like, it wasn't like he was about to jump down on one knee. It was all, like, in my head and, like, the pressure that I felt. And yeah. I think that was something that when we did get to the point of deciding to take time apart, he was kind of like, I'm not asking for any of that. Like, and I was like, but that's not what it's about. And I really appreciate you saying that about, like, you feeling like you know that I have an inner compass that I choose to follow and like to follow. He also knew that. And I think that was a really beautiful thing to have a person that you're telling you need space from say, I know, like, I know you need space. I know you very well, and I know you need this, and I'm willing to give it to you. Like, it was the most beautiful sacrificial love, and I don't even think I realized it at the moment, you know.
Yeah.
Which is just such a testament to him loving people and also knowing me really well. And so that was really, that made it so much harder, because totally. Then I'm sitting there being like, I already knew what I was potentially giving up. That was like a dagger of like, I am potentially walking away from a soulmate type of love that completely understands and accepts me. Like, what am I doing? But I still knew I had to.
Yeah. And I think that's the part that really sticks with me is like, and maybe some people don't know this about you, like, not only do you like know yourself, but you've like done the work to trust that like intuition that you have. But it's like, I feel like a lot of us maybe can have that kind of gut feeling and like recognize something's not right, or this isn't totally, I don't know, whatever it is. But I think what it's so admirable that you did that not a lot of people do is then like you said, make that leap of faith and do something about it. Like, I just have a couple friends that come to mind right now just of like, they've talked through these things, but then like don't always do the thing that they need to do, that it sounds like they know what they need to do, but like can't actually get themselves to do it. And that's what's so like amazing, that you did the thing, even though, like you said, it maybe didn't make sense. You didn't really know what it was going to look like. I think that a lot of people can't do that.
Yeah.
I would struggle with doing that.
Most people don't and can't, I think. And also I'm really glad that you brought up Marshall's response, because I was thinking about that the whole time you're talking about it, and just you walking your friends through how loving and how selfless he was, and he truly loved you in that moment in its purest form by letting you do what you needed to do, even though he was like, you're ripping my heart out here, but I love you, and love means letting you go and like trusting the process no matter what it is. And that is amazing to me. So I just want to say how much we adore Marshall. This is never like a talking about the boyfriend
thing. We did
get
his permission.
We got his permission. We adore him. He's one of my dear friends, Alex's dear friends. Max and him are good friends. Like, we're so anyway, just appreciate the freedom to talk about it. But he amazed me with his response. Like, he really did. Well, now that we kind of talked about what led you up to that year, I need you to walk us through that year. Where did you go next? And what was your mindset? And just tell us about it.
Yeah. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. Like, really no clue. Like, I knew that what I did know is that I find home in people. And my mom was traveling the world at that time. I had just broken up with my other version of home. I had my brothers close by and my dad close by, but I would say love them all to death, but those were my two versions of home. So I felt like incredibly lonely and lost, but back to what Girk was saying, knew I had to do it. So it was a one foot in front of the other. I've been saying that a lot, but seriously, like, day by day, where am I going? Where am I sleeping tonight? I did the full nomadic. So anyways, I knew I wanted to test out new cities because I knew I wanted to move.
And I knew that I needed a steady income to do that. So like my rational side of my brain put aside the part of like looking for a new job and accepted my corporate responsibilities and went with those, which very grateful for because it gave me the freedom to be able to do that. I worked remote. I went around to different cities. I stayed with a lot of friends, which was wonderful. I felt like I had a girly year. Like I was with the girls all the time.
Such a girl year.
And it was so fun. I was a yes girl.
You were the most yes Rachel version of you I've ever seen.
Which I think I am so glad that I did for a year. I also learned that I need sleep and I love self-care. We've been talking about it all day.
In our robes.
And I like... So there's like an element of having that security of like knowing I have those things that allow me to be more yes. And I was like foregoing all of that. So long story short, I knew it wasn't sustainable. I think most of my friends were like not saying anything of like, hey, we're worried about you or what are you doing? Because you guys probably knew it wasn't sustainable for me. I don't know. I'm speaking for you now. A couple of friends have mentioned that to me. But anyways, long story short, I tested out a bunch of cities. I spent a summer in Charleston, which I love. I grew up going there and walked on the beach every morning, which was amazing. I did a lot of like longer term Airbnbs. So a lot of alone time. I would consider it the year I lived alone, honestly.
Yeah, you went from living with someone to living alone. Like that's huge.
Yeah. I drove on the highway way more than I ever have. I'm kind of a passenger princess and I love that, but I drove a lot.
Yes, you did.
I flew a lot of places. I spent the winter in Denver and spent the summer in Charleston. And in between there, spent time in New York and Philly, Chicago. Where else did I go? Visited my mom in Croatia.
Yeah.
A lot of time in Richmond with family. Savannah. I went to Savannah. Mm-hmm.
And some people met you in certain places. Like you got to hang out with Allie in Charleston and like you'll see Janie down there too. Yeah. And so I love that like, and when you were in Richmond and I was still in Richmond, I would see you. Mm-hmm. So it's like little parts, like people would meet you along the way, which I think just also does remind you, you're actually never really alone as you feel.
And I think one, again, a wisdom moment looking back is like, I mentioned the home thing is like, not everyone is like this, but for me personally needed to find home within. I couldn't keep relying on these outside sources to feel at home. They, in my mind, it's like if you think about like a three-legged stool, like you want to get your leg set and not like rely on, you know, people for one portion of it because that's going to fall apart, or your job, or even like literally your house, like physical items. For me personally, I had to get that stability on my own before I was able to like fully accept the help and the love, which just goes back to loving yourself truthfully. And so that like in reflection, not like talking about it in the moment, but when I look back on it, that's what I was doing. I was learning how to find home within.
Wow.
My great aunt helped me realize that. She's fabulous.
Really?
Shout
Can
out.
Can you say more? How did she help you realize that?
We just were talking about it one day. We would talk a lot during that time. She's like one of the most wise people I know. Mm. I love her. And she said that one day to me and I was like, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
She actually didn't say it to me. She somehow got me to say it, which was beautiful. So that's how she talks.
She's a wizard.
She is. She's a witch. I love her.
Oh my God. Our witch. when you say finding home within, I would imagine also spending time alone. It's like you are figuring out a whole new routine and way of being with just yourself. And I was just curious if you had any like tactical things that you did, whether it was like journaling, walking, like anything, like what did you do to go deeper within yourself and like make sure you weren't, because that's one thing you did. You had so much fun. I was honestly never really worried about you. I kind of like loved the moment that you were having. I also knew you and Marshall loved each other. So I was like, I think if it's supposed like meant to be, they'll come back to each other. Like who knows? But I think it was a really important year for you.
Oh, monumental.
Monumental. And but anyway, I would just love to hear, like is there anything tactical that you feel like you implemented during this year away that helped you find home and stability within yourself and not external things?
Yeah, a lot. You have to build your toolkit. I feel like you're good at this too. Like you have to find the things that when you're having a horrible day, you can
go into and just do, and you know, even if you feel 2% better, you feel 2% better, you know, and maybe the next time it's 10%. So for me, I didn't have a physical house, so I couldn't like clean, because now I would say cleaning's in my toolkit because I love like a Sunday reset. But it was a lot of like going on walks, calling like people that I have a fear of being misunderstood. So anytime I was feeling alone, like calling people that I could just talk to and not feel any judgment or anything like that. So that was super important. I think for me, working out is huge for me. I ran a lot that year, and I don't listen to music when I run. I know Girk thinks I'm a serial killer for that, but
that's crazy.
Like, I ran in a race recently and most of the marathon runners didn't. Like, that's like a psycho marathon thing. So you're not that abnormal.
I didn't know that.
So many of them did not have headphones.
Yeah. It's like the only time I can like clear my mind and meditate, truthfully.
Dang. Your mom's like that too.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I was like running a lot, going on walks. I journaled a ton. I had like, now I'm thinking back on it, like Molly and I did like a 30-day journaling thing together where we wrote down affirmations. I had a lot of things that I knew made me feel better already that I was just able to like write down on a list and like go through them.
Can I ask what some of the affirmations were that kept you going, or what kept coming up for you? Or just themes?
I would just like, I'm a huge like,
you can also veto me anytime,
totally,
by the way.
Fine. I mean, I think you guys both know I'm a huge like perspective, like share gratitude for things. I think my biggest thing was like, I had these moments of like insane reflection where I was like, oh my gosh, everything that I just lit a match on and blew up, I'm doing what I said I was gonna do. And that was like a very prideful, not like, like full of pride, not prideful, you know, moment for me. And so I think the gratitude of just knowing I was doing it was the biggest thing that kept me going. I remember literally like being in, I was like at like the River Road Starbucks in Richmond, Virginia, and was trying to find a place to live in Charleston for the summer. And it was nearly impossible and so expensive. And I ended up getting like a message back from somebody that I had messaged months ago. And it was like a young couple that was going to surf in Hawaii for 2 months. And they were like giving me their condo, right? Like 10-minute drive to the beach. And I just remember sitting there being like literally crying. Like, I am so grateful that I'm just doing this right now. I had no expectations of how anything would turn out.
Right.
But I just was grateful that I was doing it.
Yeah.
But that's what I think is so impressive, because like so many people would like let that fear like paralyze them, or let the like unknown paralyze them. And I just think it's so impressive that you, despite that, like I'm sure that still like existed and was in your mind at times, like you were able to put that aside and see all the like good and all of the silver linings and all the things that can keep you going.
Well, you're very sweet to say that, and I'll accept your compliment because I'm not going to drop kick it.
Hold on.
But I do, like, I will say that I think sometimes I can take that too far. Grit is super embedded in me, and sometimes I'm like afraid that maybe I have to take the hard road in order to feel like I was successful or accomplished anything or deserve anything. So I think it's really beautiful too when people can just have awareness and say, maybe I should do that, but I don't have the confidence to do it, and just accept it. Like, that is not in my DNA.
Yeah.
And it's such a blessing in so many ways. I wouldn't trade my grit for anything, but it can be detrimental if I don't keep it in check.
It's like a double-edged sword.
Totally. But I do appreciate you saying those kind words, Kurt.
Yeah, I think it's so true. And you said something so true where, like, we don't have 3 hours, but like, this is not the hardest thing you've been through in life. It doesn't mean it wasn't really hard, mm-hmm. and it was a loss in a way and a journey for you. But I just feel like a lot of your upbringing and childhood and just your health history and having your body fail you at times and just coming back, you know, from a lot of that, like keeping it super high level, it's just like, that's where you got your grit from.
Totally.
And mm-hmm. it's not the only thing, but you spent years of your life in a lot of unknown. Mm-hmm. So for a while, you're like, this is my home. All I know is unknown.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Because I almost think the steadiness at one point freaked you out.
No, freaked me out. Cole said that. My older brother said that to me when I told him we were breaking up. He was like, yeah, I mean, you don't like the easy road. And it like shocked me. I was like, oh my God, like you're exactly right. Like, yeah. It's so weird when people that know you so well, like say something that blows your mind, you know? Mm. And it was like, that is so true. I had a very steady, like easy, fun love. And I needed to put it through the ringer apparently in order to accept it. And I think that is not like necessarily the best quality of myself, but it's also qualities that have literally kept me alive. So I'm not gonna like be, you know, sad that I have them.
I think also like, okay, it's been, like you said, over a year that you've lived in this place, you have your job, you're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's a testament. Like, it's not like now, oh, a year later, I'm running away from any of these things. Like,
right, I've learned
so
a lot.
That to me in and of itself says that that's not who you are at your core. I don't know, but I don't know if you found like how to like, have you found yourself in that place again of like,
no, I haven't, but I am scared of it. And I think Marshall probably is too, to be honest. I don't want to speak for him, but I think we, and I know this is one of your later questions, but I think we've done a lot better job of really checking in with each other, right? Like, not like a, just, you know, just really how you doing? Because I am probably, I mean, I did a ton of work on myself and why, like I kept on, that's another theme. I remember like being like, why do I feel like I need to do this? Why? And trying to figure out that, and would I ever be in a like stable, serious relationship again? Cause, or would I ever like find someone as good as him? These were like real fears I had a lot of the time. And I think that I just learned a lot about myself, and like Girk, you taught me a lot about this too. Like, not everything is always perfect, and it doesn't mean that things are wrong when they're not perfect. And that we can go into a whole segment on this, which we probably don't have time for, but I felt a lot of pressure to be perfect in Richmond. And I think removing myself from that environment allowed me to realize that it was okay.
And I feel like even that is like helpful advice for anyone who feels like, right, like sometimes when it rains, it pours. So we can feel like you said, like, I didn't like my job. I didn't like where I lived. I didn't like this. And we don't like all these things. But like, that doesn't mean tomorrow we have to wake up and change all these things. We could just change one thing. And so by moving, taking that leap and moving to a new city, that is no small thing. But the fact that you did that, maybe then changed like all the other things, then can naturally fall into place. And it doesn't have to feel like as overwhelming,
daunting. Totally. It's like just giving yourself the permission to explore. And I think that's what I was doing at first. For me, it worked to continue down that. It might not for everyone.
Yeah. Guys, I have to take 30 seconds and pee or I'm gonna burst. Oh God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I peed right before we started, but okay. Just really quick, don't lose that thought.
Can I keep going while you pee? Like, about,
yeah, just you. Okay. Hold the mic.
I'll hold this.
It's gonna be less serious until she comes back, because you know she'll be sad without that. Uh-huh. But one thing, I'm like really into like hearing people's routines right now, and I know you're routine girly, and I know you're like, so can you just tell me like right now what's your typical morning routine? And I know, I'm sure it's a little wacky because you travel so much, but you could tell like your home one and your travel one or something.
Sure. I love this question. People are gonna think I'm a freak, but
no, I can't. That's what I love.
Completely turned our apartment into a wellness village. Like, that's what I refer to it as. So every morning I wake up and I of course wash my face and brush my teeth first.
Okay.
I don't know
what time do you wake up?
Early, like 5:30, but that's because I work East Coast hours. Okay. And I live in Denver. We already went over that. And then I do this thing called oil pulling, which is where you put coconut oil in your mouth and you swish it around for like 15 minutes. Huh. And it's supposed to pull out all of the bacteria. Like, I swear I had a sore throat and it went away. And
okay, I've never heard this before.
If you Google it, it's like a common thing. But it's not like common as like,
like in the wellness world.
In the wellness world.
Follow.
Is this one mine?
That's you.
Okay.
So I do I'm flashing you now. I do oil pulling. And then
is it every day you do it?
Every day. Every day. And then while I'm oil pulling, I put oil on my face too and gua sha for 15 minutes.
This girl just is oil. Like, you're 100% oil.
I have been using coconut oil since the archives. Is that how you say that?
I think they get it. Since the...
No, it's a different word, but I know what you mean. It's,
yeah.
Like, it's like...
From the ancient times.
It's, yeah. The point is, you've been slathered in oil since I met you.
My mom taught me that. So then I gua sha for probably about the same amount of time the oil is in my mouth. So 15 minutes. And I do this all while sitting in front of a red light.
I knew the red light was coming in. I obviously knew there was a red light.
Which has been a January ad that I love.
You are Melissa Woodhouse.
And please sponsor us, Melissa. Wait, she's her own.
Melissa, just like know us.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that like the light is at you, right?
Yeah. And I like it. And also, it's also, side note, really good for your circadian rhythm, which is like,
yeah, that's what I've heard.
We're all supposed to wake up. I mean, the original, the OG,
you're supposed to be like bright light. Sun.
So you're supposed to, it helps you wake up. And like, okay. Especially if you're waking up when it's still dark outside, which I am. So then after the gua sha and red light's done. And- Marshall and I usually flip places because he's into it now. He's like usually like, I don't know, unloading the dishwasher or something like that in the morning. And then he flips and gets in front of the red light. And then I go finish washing and then I dunk my face in cold water twice, obviously. 10 seconds each. And then
you do a bowl?
Yeah, bowl. Okay. And I think that's kind of it for the morning, actually.
Okay.
And then like hot lemon water and
supplements.
Salt. Lemon water and salt. Take your supplements. We can't even go into my supplement.
But
routine.
Then are you like getting ready for work, getting ready to work out? Like, what do you do?
So I usually put on workout clothes. Sometimes I stretch in front of the red light too, because I'm trying to be more flexible in 2024 for training purposes. And then I have in 2024 started eating breakfast too. So I usually make some type of breakfast. So...
And then do you start work?
Yeah, and then I start work. So I do work all remote? That, and that's like I work remote when I'm not traveling.
So you can just start right away, like get right
into
work.
Well, that's what I really do have. I usually like check something around like 6 and make sure I'm not being blown up, or 6:30. And then if I have more time, like I don't like going to sit in front of the screen immediately. So that's why I do all of this crazy morning routine, to feel like I have a life before that. I've also recently been putting a walk in there sometimes, just like a quick mile
walk. So yeah, my next question was between 5:30 and starting work, like how much time is that?
It's usually about an hour and a half if I'm lucky, which is great.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't wake up till 6 though, and that's, it gets shortened. Every minute is shortened. But then the nighttime routine, if I may.
Please. I love this stuff.
I usually take a bath. With Epsom salt and vitamin E oil and lavender oil.
Shocking.
And I don't really sit in the bath that long, just a little bit, you know, just a quick soak.
Is it hot?
15 minutes. Yeah, it's smoking hot.
Okay. I didn't know if you were like cold plunging yourself.
Well, you do a cold shower in the morning, like you cold rinse. Got it. And then I do a castor oil pack.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know if it's familiar. We're gonna have
it's a pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And read usually and drink tea if I'm home. And so these are all things that I do pretty regularly if I'm home. Some of those I take on the road with me. Like Kate just saw my wellness bag. I have like my electrolytes, my supplements, my dry brush, my gua sha.
Between the two of us, I think there's 300 pills in this room.
So that's like,
I believe that.
I've really tried to be focusing. I really try to be.
I do be trying.
Focus on things that I can take on the road with me too. So it's not this like huge juxtaposition between morning routine.
That makes sense.
On the road is such a cool phrase. It sounds like you're a touring musician.
Thank you so much for sharing. I'm really into like just hearing people's, like you were even like, I want down to the minute usually, but I appreciate you telling.
She's a routine junkie right now.
Yeah, I really am.
But pulling us back in, I just want to talk through. So we had just talked about your mindset, kind of like the affirmations, the routines you were giving yourself during your year of traveling, of being single, of figuring out what was the next best thing for you. And I wanted to know, okay, timeline wise, you did that. And then when did you see Marshall again? And can you walk us through, spoiler alert, they got back together. And it wasn't a spoiler to many people, maybe to you, but it wasn't a spoiler.
I was shocked, to say the least.
So can you walk us through kind of the end of that journey and how you guys made your way back to each other?
Yeah. So I mentioned that I spent the summer in Charleston, and that was probably the most stable like home I had that whole year. I had 2 months in an awesome condo that was totally myself. I had a car the whole time. So I felt very secure in that. I had a lot of friends visiting me rather than visiting them. So I decided in July probably that I was going to dive into finding a new job, and during that phase decided to move to Denver. So that was like what I did the entire time I was in Charleston.
What months was that?
It was happening? I was there all of June and all of July and a little bit of August.
Okay.
And also during that time, my mom came back to the States at the end of August. So I felt like, okay, I have all of these things that I've worked on this year, but back to the, I'm doing it. I needed to like fix the things that I had identified I was unhappy with. So I started networking like crazy. I had some really like realizations when I was in Charleston that, okay, I got to change the job. Mm-hmm. There was a time where Molly came and visited me and I was like working till 7 p.m. and she would look at me and she was like, Rach, this isn't it. And
when
the people that you love say stuff to you, it's very like jarring and helpful. And so dove into networking, and throughout that summer, and then I think in August, I went and spent some time with my mom and my aunt in Charlotte, mm-hmm. which was also just very like woman power feeling. It was all around our birthdays. We had a great time. And so I made a decision to officially move to Denver in the fall, and it was summer at this time.
And in your mind, you're going without Marshall.
Oh, we hadn't talked at this point.
Right. You guys hadn't talked in how long?
We broke up in August of 2021 and saw each other once in January for like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And I was about to go to Denver for 2 months again. And I was like, just basically checking in. It was the first time we had seen each other and it was short. And I was like, nah.
Yeah, I just want to give people context. Like, y'all were not talking during this year off. Like, it wasn't like, oh, well, he's waiting in the wings. Like,
that's actually a good point. Like, as gracious and loving as Marshall was, we were both heartbroken in different ways. And so we cared and loved each other enough that we knew that would only make it harder. Mm. So we did not communicate. We cold turkeyed it. We didn't communicate. And so when we did, so anyways, I accepted a new job with this startup that I work with now, and decided to move to Denver. We were all in New York together, which was so fun. And then like 2 weeks where I was going to be in and out of Richmond. I think I stopped by the West Beach trip during that time too.
Yeah.
And I had been, ever since I had made the decision to move to Denver and join the startup, which this is helpful context too, I had turned down this startup job 3 times while Marshall and I were together the first time. So he was with me through the saga of,
oh my God,
of in turned down because it wasn't the right time for where the company was and where I was in my career. And so I felt like this, like I had gone back and forth for about a month. Do I reach out? Because I felt like I was saying goodbye to a lot of things in Richmond, and he was such a big part of my young adult life there, mm-hmm. that I wanted it to come from me to say, hey, I finally got the startup job, or it finally worked out, and I'm moving to Denver, which was a place that we had both talked about moving when we were together.
Yeah. And also, just side note, Marshall was like living his own life too, very much during this year. Like,
yes,
he had his own his own apartment. Like, he moved out of the place you guys were sharing. Like, you know, he was very much doing his own thing as well.
When we did meet up, which we'll get to in a second, he said it was the most impactful year of his life too.
Wow.
Which was like, oh my God, like I could have started crying then, because I was like, someone that I, in my mind, like blew up the life of, mm-hmm. had gotten through it and become better for it. Like, what else could you ever need to hear? That would have been enough. Even if the story was over then, that would have been enough. So went back and forth with a lot of friends on whether I should reach out or not, if it was fair, because again, I was literally planning on saying goodbye officially, and decided to reach out. And this is a funny story. I don't think he'll mind me telling. He was on a plane heading to visit you and Max, going to Connecticut with Dallas. And I texted him, hey, hope you're doing well. I'm actually joined that startup and moving to Denver. Would love to see you before I leave. And he, the what way he text. Tells, right? I just went for it. And that was actually my mom's advice. She was like, don't pity patty around, or what's it called? Like, just say what you want to say. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it.
Don't beat around the bush.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
And which was great advice. And
pity so, patty works
pity
too.
Pity patty, beat around the bush, same thing. And so I sent a loaded text, and he says that he either turned the phone to Dallas or something, because this is, spoiler, I didn't know this, but he had also decided he was moving to Denver. And he turned the phone to Dallas and said, what the fuck?
What the honestly, bleep? I feel like the greater good was protecting Marshall in that moment of like, he was with his friends and probably need to talk about it with someone. Like, the timing was actually, talked about it.
I think even more meta than that, that like, of course he was visiting this circle that like, we again, is like our interconnected circle that like is another sign that like, you guys thought you knew what was to come, but really you didn't.
Had no idea. So this is dragging, I'm dragging
this
story
out. Please keep going.
So he responded, ha, that's awesome. I'm actually moving to Denver too. And this was the funniest part. He didn't answer my text about, he didn't answer my question about meeting up. He just said that. And I was like, he's going to make me ask again.
He's like, grovel, girl. And so I was like, it's been a year.
And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to be in town the next 2 weeks if you're free. And I think I don't remember exactly how it went down, but he ended up basically making me ask one more time somehow. I was like, here's the days I'm free. And he finally, I think he wanted me to probably like literally ask for it, which is fair. And so we ended up deciding to get dinner. This was probably early September of 2022 at this point. We went to a place called Lolita's in Richmond, Virginia. I had never been there.
Great spot.
It's a great spot. Very loud in there. Would not recommend having a serious conversation in there. Yeah, which we didn't, by the way. We looked around at each other and said, this isn't going to work. Like, let's just have a fun dinner. I went to the pivot.
Yeah. Because you know you're going to get to it.
Exactly. I went and had took a shot of tequila with Molly before. She was living at the Fan in that time. Got dropped off at Lolita's because I didn't have a car at the time. And we sat there. And seriously, we like, you know, caught up on each other's families or whatever. And then he he didn't have my mom's advice at the time, but he said, so what are we doing here? And I was like, I literally thought we were going to have dinner and I was going to say goodbye. And so I was like, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm leaving. I wanted to see you. I wanted you to hear it from me. Can we just have dinner? And he said, sure.
And did you guys drop right back into having fun? Like, was
so much fun.
Did it feel like you hadn't seen him for a year?
I immediately recognized his growth and his posture and his confidence immediately. And I was very taken aback by it. Very taken aback by it. Like, shocked. Not because he's not capable. Of course he's capable of it. But I wasn't prepared for that.
What did you notice specifically?
He's very confident, very collected, very articulate in his year. Like, obviously it had a lot of reflection, very open to sharing. Just like, and you know how when someone's doing good, you just feel the energy.
Totally. I
mean, that was what it was. And
beautiful thing.
Yeah, it was awesome. And so that was really good to see. We caught up. And then towards the end of the dinner, he kind of was like, there are some things I obviously want to talk about. So we went and got a nightcap, and that's when we actually started talking. But it was fun because we just got to like literally go on a date, which I didn't know at the time was a date, but we just had fun and were ourselves.
Did we have a kiss at the end?
Yes.
Woohoo!
Because of what was said. Like, I don't think...
Go on.
Gosh, he's not going to care.
He can hear this first, like 100%.
Yeah, Girk, I don't even know if you've ever heard this full story. So this is fun for you too.
I'm not also prying just to pry. Like, no. I really think like women or anyone listening totally. Will be like, this is so helpful because you're being so real about it. So again, you guys have first edit, first right of refusal. So just, this is a safe space. It can all be cut. So
I feel fine talking about it. So we ended up getting a nightcap at his apartment because he literally lived around the corner at the
time. Sure.
Living in Carytown. He said he had a bottle of wine, and your girl don't turn down no bottle, no wine. And so we went to his apartment, and that's when we actually started talking, and he kind of was like, so we're both moving to Denver, and we just started to get a little bit more deep of like, how are you doing? You know, and just talk through a lot of shit that had happened. And his whole MO was, I'm so happy for you. Go to Denver and keep moving forward. He was very adamant on not slowing me down. But he said, if you are still single when I get to Denver in May and we're still having a good time, or you would still have a good time, can I take you out to dinner, is what he said. Mm-hmm. And me being my smart, sassy, wisdom-filled self, say back to him, well, I just don't know because...
my schedule's like pretty busy.
I was way worse than that. I said... I just don't know because I feel like I've changed a lot in this year. Which version of me do you want to take out to dinner?
You are making it so hard.
He said to me, which this is one of the things I love about him so much. He's one of the only people that can put me in my place. He said, Rach, you're literally missing the point. I don't care what version of you I take out to dinner. I just want to take you out to dinner. And it was kind of like a, okay, this is going to be different than I thought moment, because it was like, he, again, loves me for exactly who I am. Mm-hmm. Today, tomorrow, whenever I change, which I will, which is a huge fear I have of how do you stay together when you're changing and growing. And it was just a moment of, okay, wow. And so that's when we kissed.
Cute. So, okay. So you get, so he gets to Denver. You're in Denver.
Yes, but there was a lot of time between that. We did. Mm-hmm. That was in September when that dinner happened. We saw, and then I literally like the next day left for Florida. Then I was in San Francisco. Then I was in London. Like I was in the job grind. And so we saw each other probably 3 times that entire fall. And you know how it is. Like at first we were not texting at all. And then started texting a little bit more, and then he asked me to dinner. And so when I was basically, so I went, anyways, I had to work, travel, went out to Denver, found an apartment, was back and forth from Richmond because that was where all my stuff was, and I hadn't officially moved out. So anytime I was back, which ended up being about 3 times, I saw him, and we went to just like very classic dates, like relearning each other was very important to me, and him too. And so he had a trip already planned to Denver for his own apartment search in the middle of December. And he decided to come a day early because I was already living there at the time. And we went out to dinner. And that's when he actually was like, come on, let's just do this thing. And I was like 4 margaritas deep and said, sure.
And never looked back.
But aww. I did wake up, and he knows this, with heart palpitations, or however you say that.
Heart like, palpitations, yeah.
What the heck did we? And he was like, stop. Like, it's good. It's
can't overthink good. It. But that's what's good about the yin and yang of like.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a
and
gene.
Then we had like 6 months of long distance while he was finishing up his projects in Richmond. And then he moved to Denver. And Matt.
Love.
I love that story.
It's a good one. I'm not going to lie.
It's a great one.
But it was not easy. And
oh, we're not done.
Oh.
Hopefully this question will just lead you there. Okay. But I was going to ask, how did that space help you both come back and be in your relationship in a new way? I feel like we have talked a lot about how you and Marshall's relationship is literally like, I think I call you Marsh and Rachel 2.0 because
we do.
You're a different couple to me
completely
than you used to be. And not one is bad and one is good. One's like, it's just different.
Yeah.
And I can tell you both have taken so much from your years apart. And I was just curious how your relationship is different now that you guys did take that space and reflected and both grew so much individually.
Yeah. I think something that people don't talk about in relationships is like, you have to want it, right? Like, I learned throughout the year when I was single that I loved the time I was single, but I like being in partnership. It's mm-hmm. fun and I am good at it and it brings me joy. And so I think you have to want it. And I personally am the type of person, like, and this is something me and him talk about a lot, is like, he will, to our grave, if we're fortunate enough to be together that long, will know more than me. Like, he is just sure of me. And it's awesome for, like, to be the receiver of that. I will never have that much security because
of... Your molecules are different.
My molecules are, like, it's like DNA different. Yeah. What we experienced as children was drastically different. And so accepting that and not being afraid of it, huge mm-hmm. for us, independently and as a couple. So that's one thing. But then also, I have the confidence of choosing it now and not feeling like I didn't take the space to know that I wanted it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I take mostly into it is it's okay to be different. It's okay to, like, you're going to grow at different times and accepting that about each other. And yeah, I think just choosing it was really, really important for me to know that I wanted to choose it.
Yeah.
And right, like, I'm saying this like we're a 50-year-old married couple. Like, we're 28 still figuring our shit out. We have no, like, we bicker all the time, like, but we know we want to try to do this life together. Okay. However long we're fortunate enough for that to happen. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean, again, I'm just, that's my realistic yeah. brain of being like, you know, things happen, like, life happens. It's not always roses.
And you, I feel like I recall you saying also that the way you guys communicate with each other is really different. Mm-hmm. Can you say some of the contrasting, like, what's different now than the way you used to yeah. communicate? Because it just seems like something that you guys value very highly.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of what I was referring to when I said that to you.
Just very real yeah. with each other as well.
I mean, there's like, we're very, very silly. But there's also moments where we like just talk. Like, I just have to talk shit out. Like, I can't. We just talk through things. And he, like, also, we're just still learning. Like, literally recently, we realized that, like, his tendencies is to shut down and avoid. And my tendency is to, like, figure it out, the grit. And so just having the awareness of that, of like, why are you shutting down right now? It's like, oh, because that's what your DNA does. And this is what my DNA does. And just like accepting it and like mm-hmm. learning to how to communicate best for each other. And through that, God, we are not perfect about it. Like, it is still like, I think also that's another thing is like, I think relationships should be easy. Like, they shouldn't necessarily be like the hardest thing you ever do, but they are work. Like, let's be very clear. Like, it's not just always easy. But I think the easiness of knowing you want to do it is the easy part.
Right. Like, that feels clear always. Uh-huh. You know that much.
I know that now. Mm. Which is such a fun thing to know.
I also think you guys know how different you are and really honor and appreciate the differences in yeah. each other. And like Alex said, like, how you guys yin-yang. Because if you don't, it's like you're constantly butting up against that and the way that your person doesn't meet your expectations or the way that mm-hmm. you guys do things differently. And that can cause, I think, a lot of tension within couples. But mm-hmm. I just feel like you guys are both so patient with each other and are like, yeah, that's the way you are. And this is the way I am. And we like ebb and flow for each other.
Yeah. I mean, it would be really weird to me to be in a relationship with someone that's exactly the same as you. Like, idealistically, it sounds fun, right? But that would be so boring.
What would you learn?
Exactly. You know? And so I think not trying, and also like honoring the differences and being like,
I was going to say that. Yep.
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. accepting it and thinking they're cool. Like, I think it's very yeah. cool that we think differently and like I can learn from him and he can learn from me. And it's humbling. Like it is like when you're like, again, just put into a situation where you realize you're wrong or that someone else views this differently and their definition is different. And that's really cool to like remember, because also that's life. That's not just your romantic relationship. That's every relationship. And you should, or I think that it's important to have like openness, and curiosity is huge in any relationship, and wanting to keep learning each other. Like, I don't want to know everything about him right now. What am I going to do the next 10 years or 2 years even, you know, like,
yeah. But I think that's coming through so clearly too. It's just even how you're talking about your differences, every single thing you've said throughout our conversation, you've like highlighted like his strengths and like how like you admire his confidence, all these things. While I like know some people who maybe like highlight differences in like only a negative way, and that can so clearly come through as well. But like that's something people can like pause, check with yourself, like, am I always like highlighting the negative and how we differ in like a bad way, like in a negative light? Or am I also seeing, like you said, how it like checks me and how it like, yeah, I admire it because I'm not like that, and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys make each other's world bigger. Mm-hmm. And I think you see it that way, when a lot of people can be like, oh, this is constricting, or this is not the way I do it, or whatever. Like, I think it really is a perspective shift.
Yeah. And I think it's like, Girk, to what you were saying too, and Kate, this follows off what you were saying too. It's like, it just like opens up your mind to more. I'm literally losing my train of thought. This is not what I was saying.
It sounded really mature.
It's important to know that like, just because you're different or have differing views or differing upbringings, it doesn't mean you don't click or worked well together. Like, I think maybe that's like some, yeah, advice too, is like, don't be afraid of differences. Like, it can actually, like, your differences can work really, really well together and like make, yeah, things better. And like, he, again, is forever going to be more happy than I am. Like, he's just like the most jolly person. And instead of being like annoyed by that, it's like, oh, like he can bring out that happiness in me, and or anything. Yeah. Like, that's just like a very obviously good example for him.
Yeah.
And he brings, I can see that he brings a lot of stability to your life, yeah, when a lot of what you've known is change and question marks and not sure. I think you benefit so much from that. Like, he buoys you in your life so much, and you keep him on his toes and like want to change things up. And I feel like that's like a really healthy balance.
I think that's huge. Yeah. You probably realize that more than me even, which is fun.
I just want to thank you for being so honest and real. I did not know you were going to be this real. Well, not like you weren't going to be real, but like
halfway. You guys make, seriously, don't mean to interrupt you, but a testament to you guys, like, you guys make it a safe, comfortable environment to share. So that's like a testament to you guys more than anything.
I really feel like I have people in mind that like I'm going to send this to, because like I just am thinking of people who like could hear and learn and just benefit so much from your story and your experiences. And like, you're so wise and like have done the work and reflected so much that we really appreciate it. So lots of people will benefit. I'm benefiting from this right now. So thank you.
You guys are sweet. Thank you.
I have one final question to wrap us up.
Did we answer your questions, Girk, too?
Yeah, I sprinkled them in. We're good.
You can
I have to get to Vanderpump Rules, so.
Yeah.
First episode of the new season.
Although Girk was trying to bail on this podcast, let's just say it.
No, I was not.
Tell Girk I say this is really bad for her loyalty friendship brand.
No, she said, this is in my NDA. Gherkin has to be there. And I was like, obviously.
No, and to the listener, she wasn't trying to bail. She was just saying if it's more convenient for Kate to do it, we can.
And I
or
said.
Or I was thinking, like, you two just naturally have a conversation, but I'm glad it wasn't like awkward or weird that I was just like videoing it. That's all I was saying.
Also, fun fact that maybe people don't know, we all three of us used to live together, by the way.
I know, I
also
love very, that.
It's super full circle, because when a lot of this was going down, I you guys were my roommates, and I was very, I mean, you guys probably know, I was sad and not.
You were going through it. Yeah.
Just corporate life. We both were just in jobs that required so much from us. And on Sunday nights, I just remember that she would like peek in my room and we would literally cry on Sunday nights because we were so scared. We had the Sunday scaries so badly.
I remember being for our jobs. Like, we both talked about this. Like, we were sad on Friday because we knew Sunday was.
We were like, we only have 2 days. Like, that's horrible.
That's another thing I will say. The year that I had, I weekly forgot what day it was. And it wasn't because. And also wouldn't get excited about things until they were there, because I, and again, don't know if I would recommend this, but had to live in such the present moment of where am I like sleeping tonight? Unless I had a Airbnb, of course, but like
I could not think further ahead than that. So it really did force me to be in the present moment a lot, which I don't think is always amazing. You have
balance.
To be able to
balance.
Zoom out too. But
yeah,
I will say that I did forget what day it was often.
I love that.
I was in that year.
You deserve that. Well, I think this will round everything out kind of perfectly before we talk about reality TV and other fun things. But what would you say to someone who is either, it could be a lot of things, like itching to get to know themselves on a deeper level, take a scary step forward, like scary but necessary step forward, maybe move away from something comfortable in their life, whether it's a relationship or a friendship or just moving to a new city or taking a new job or like pivoting in your career, or doing something like maybe against the societal norm and timeline, and someone who like has that inner knowing in them but is scared to make the move. Do you have any words of encouragement for anyone and kind of feeling in that position?
What's coming to mind is like, you have to be your own best friend. And that is knowing every version of your wants, needs, thoughts, desires. Doesn't mean you always have to act on them, but just be very curious about yourself and give yourself a lot of grace through the changing and what you discover. Because at the end of the day, that's really all you have.
You're it's, with you, guaranteed.
You're with you. You are like, and I truthfully believe that when you're able to know yourself more, you're a better friend, partner, daughter, son, sister, brother, because like you're coming from this place of knowing, back to our girl, and perspective that's like allows you to be more open and like curious and grateful and all of the things. And there's a fine line, right? Like that doesn't mean only focus inward. Like you have to, but when you focus inward from an intentional place rather than like a dwelling or a victimhood place, and you're able to ask yourself why and figure some things out within and then continue that journey, right? It's not like stops in one day. I just think you discover more and more and more. And it's like that Kate and I, or I feel like all three of us talk about like the zooming out and getting grander and bigger perspectives. That's worked really well for me. I don't know.
That's great. You know, and I think honestly, the next step is not just knowing yourself, but like liking yourself. Like I think a lot of people don't like themselves. And like you said, how can we expect a partner, a friend, a roommate, a boss, a daughter, a whatever to like us if we don't like ourselves?
Totally.
Yeah. Like the metaphor of like you took all the legs away that weren't in your control or were all external factors that like you had no control over how they played out in your life. And I think that's a key thing too. We can't rely on other people and other things solely for our happiness, for our fulfillment, for our identity, for our joy.
Totally.
And you took all of that away and said, I have to go find that for myself first so I can like, I just feel like you both came back to your relationship such whole people.
That's a great way to put it. It's like building from within, filling up yourself, which I just also think people don't think is possible. It's, and maybe it isn't fully in the way that I did, but you can find like the micro moments. That's what something I try to focus on a lot. It's like the micro moments to give yourself the wholeness, even in times when you can't. Give it like in the way of like just like
April love moment.
That was a bad way to end it.
No,
I not
no,
what
I
you
think
said.
That's
what
great
I said.
Oh yeah.
When you are relying too much on outside validation or joy, it's very fleeting. It can be. It's passive. It's not. It's it's like imaginary joy, right? When it's like, when you're doing it from within or trying to at least do it from within with curiosity and grace for yourself, you'll get a lot further.
So trust yourself, take the leap, do it.
Take the leap or accept that you're not going to take the leap right now and don't and be okay with that.
Yeah.
Right. It's like know thyself. Listen to your knowing and what you need.
Okay. The title of this episode is Taking the Leap. in the leap year.
Whoa, perfect.
There's so much leaping happening this episode. I love it.
Oh my gosh.
I'll have to like break out a game of leapfrog there.
Should we all hop over each other real quick?
Kate's gonna be leapfrogging Zac Efron in that too.
That's the graphic. It's just
girls. This episode has to be explicit now. I'm just kidding. Every episode's explicit.
Well, we love you so much. Thank you so much for just sharing. And yeah, I learned so much from you, and you're so wise, such a good friend, and appreciate it.
I adore you. I just feel like I have said it to you a lot, but I'm so proud of you and Marshall equally. Like, I'm just so proud of who you guys are and what you guys went through, and you guys are a better and different couple, and you're on like a permanently different trajectory because you did a hard thing, like for the greater good of yourselves, and then therefore it was for the greater good of each other. So I just, as someone who's had like the privilege to watch it up close, like we both have, I just am so proud of who you both are as people.
I really appreciate that. I think that everyone deserves to, whether it's like romantically or with friends, have someone that's like jumping out the door to see you. And it took the long way to realize that within my perspective or my situation, but it can be you too.
It was your right path, though.
It was for me. But I love you both to pieces. I've learned so much from you both individually, as friends, as our friendship, all three of us, as y'all's friendship independently. And I am grateful for being invited on this pod.
Oh my God. People are going to love you.
And now you two are going to have a little LA night out on the town.
Let's sing it. LA. Baby. Oh my God, never mind. We were singing two different. You were singing La La Land, Demi Lovato. I was singing LA, LA, Baby, Jonas Brothers.
I wasn't singing a song I was making.
You just made that up.
But I want to sing your song now. What I really want to sing is Happy Birthday, but no one let me.
Okay.
Wait, I wanted to say, what if I say, we can edit this out right now, and then you put that in front of cool things that I say.
Cool.
So people feel like they're getting the behind the scenes look.
Okay, give us a good soundbite for that.
We can edit this out.
And then do another one that's like, we can edit this out, but...
We probably need to edit this out, but...
Okay, one more. And say, this is juicy, but...
Well, I've never said this before. This is really juicy. We probably have to edit this out, but...
Oh my God, this is going to be off the charts. Our most listened to episode
Jazz
yet,
on the floor.
I love. Do you want to talk about Vanderpump Rules?
No, she wants to go
tonight's
watch
episode one.
Oh my God, we got to catch
so
up.
There's
on that
not
later.
Much to say yet, but I'll watch it. Don't you fret.
Y'all know I don't be know in any of this.
That's TikTok okay.
Stuff. Rachel doesn't really know pop culture.
That is
she's
so
too
false.
Busy.
I follow.
She's
A-list.
Too busy. Oil thing. What's it called?
She's no, so busy. I am covering her own oil. You know, A-listers only. That's my point.
A-listers only. What else is there to follow?
There's so many tiers.
Bravo is B.
Who's gonna point out the B-listers we see tonight?
D&D,
you are.
Yeah.
No, I literally said, Kate, we're in Santa Monica. This is like B, C, D territory. I'm gonna need your eyes on a swivel when we get to West Hollywood. I'm your girl.
You know,
I love it.
I have
we
few
know
talents
our part.
In this life. Celebrity radar is a very strong one.
Yeah.
So I'm on it.
I can feel it. You guys are going to see someone doing something, and I'm so excited.
Because it's a leap year.
Lord, please send us
Zac
a celebrity.
Efron.
Yes. Preferably a handsome male celebrity. Amen.
Paul, do we think Kate 3 margaritas or martinis deep will ask Zac Efron what the fuck he did to his face?
Sound off in the comments.
No. What if he listens to this one day, you guys? Zac, you're perfect.
I dream big, baby.
I am. You're perfect. I didn't say anything bad about you, and call me. Well, I love you guys. This was, oh my God, I think, did I just blush?
Not a titty.
Getting a show.
Titty
my
on the pod.
Road is open.
Our robes have flashed you multiple times, Kirk. Oh, this is a peep show.
But we are laying down, and that's on brand.
We're laying down. We really are almost all, we're all in bed, so this is very on brand. Well, I love you guys. Yeah. This was so much fun. I'm going to be editing this back and absolutely cackling to myself, and I can't wait. So we love you. And this, and how we ended it is we kind of go, bye. So all three of us have to say it. Yeah. So we're going to say, love you guys. Bye. Alex.
Bye.
Oh.
Well, you were laggy as hell. I'm just laggy as hell.
I was going to say, you guys are delayed on my end.
3, 2, what?
Love you guys.
I knew that was going to happen. I knew that.
Shut me up.
Hey, just say love you guys and we'll say bye.
Oh my God. Okay. 3, 2.
You don't need to count
down. Bitch, I'll edit out. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye. That was still off.
I kind of liked it though. It was like,
I think we're just lagging.
We're just bi-coastal problems, you know?
Bye.
This is bi-coastal. Let's do it.
That's how Smartless ends every episode. Sean finds a word and he's like, gotta read the bi lines. Just never mind. It's not important.
Stop the recording.
Oh, harsh.
He doesn't want
to. We can still talk.
Okay.
Bye.
Recording now. Hold on. Stop. Stop.
Recording stopped.
Guys, that was fun. Did it. How fun was that? Wait. Not yet.
Wait.
And we're back. I was just going to say really quickly how freaking cool it is. I think that you guys are doing this for so many reasons. But one being because it's like a mission you guys have together, which is fun to do with besties, and you are getting like your creative juices flowing, which is so fun, and you're also said you're going to do something and you're doing it, which is really cool. And so I know it's probably time consuming, and Girk's like, I had to teach 12th grade boys the word
bad words
today. I don't really want to sit
not
on
the
Zoom.
Fornication.
I couldn't remember it. I'm not going to lie. That's why I didn't say it. But I just think it's cool that you guys are doing this.
Oh, thanks, cool. Babe.
Thank you. That's sweet. Yeah. I mean, no, it's literally just like putting, like, sewing the labor. What's the word? What's the phrase? Sewing
fruit of your labor?
Seeds of our friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just doing the gardening work of our friendship. Now it's like keeping the garden growing.
Yeah.
Love that. I was not expecting that out of you, Gergen.
We gotta sew our gardens.
You in the gardens. Are you
seeds? Is that a phrase?
Yeah. We for sow sure. good seeds. And we also, we're professional talkers. It's all we do anyway, so we might as well, someone might as well laugh and benefit from it. Juliana said in Uruguay, she said, thanks for making, just having like dumb bitch time and letting me like be it with the girls. And I was like, if that is what we can do for one person, job well done.
And I love that this is an international podcast.
No, yeah, literally.
Taking shit global.
We're Mr. Worldwide.
Oh, Pitbull in the building.
Watch out,
Pitbull. We might go see if we can hit up Pitbull tonight.
We might. But I am starving, so I might need to get changed.
You gotta go.
Craig's is 51 minutes away.
You're lying.
No.
Okay, we're going to figure out a game plan.
Yeah. You guys go figure it out. Manifest a celebrity sighting for us. Thank you.
Have
Thank
fun
you guys.
With Vanderpump.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. I'm sorry I didn't sing for you, but I love you.
I know you do. Okay, I love I'll you so much. Double. Okay, say bye again.
All the snaps.
Bye.
Love you.
Now we nail it. Okay, love you so much. Talk to you soon.